Our God and our Father in heaven, you are the God of West Elmira. You are the God of East Elmira. You are the God of the center and the heart of Elmira. You are the God of the north of Elmira and the south, and any towns and counties and even states laying nearby. You are the true Creator God, sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth and the universe. We have come to your house today to worship you, Lord. And we pray that as we spend these moments now reflecting upon the scriptures, Jesus, we will see you high and lifted up. And each person today will be revived. Each person today will be re-energized. Each person will be rejuvenated. And we'll meet with Jesus anew and afresh. Lord, speak a word from heaven that will encourage every heart here. And Lord, may your peace come over us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so it was Statius who told Abigail that her paternal grandmother has passed away on Tuesday night. And as if there's a competition for dying, I just learned last night that another relative of mine passed away downstate in the city. Also from a blood clot like my sister. So this blood clot thing is becoming more frequent, isn't it? I think all of those are more warnings to each of us that we should pay attention to our health. We want to do the most we can to prolong life the best we can, right? Amen? And so I believe we should look closer and closer at the health message God has blessed us with. And we know by following them closely, we can ward off. It's our best opportunity to ward off diseases. Doesn't mean that we're not going to die at some point still because we're in a sinful world. But whatever we can do in our power to ward off disease, let us commit to do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, as I move into the message today, and that was beautiful playing as well, Sharon. Thank you. You know, she is God's main music minister in this house. Amen. Amen, amen. That was beautiful health tip, by the way, to Kian. I'm going to really check that out. I want to know what my pH balance is. I want to know. And I hope I will be found on the alkali side, or I will have to do something about it. Amen? Yes, because it's true. By the way, you guys might be aware, it's a big talk in the health circles now. The dangerous effects of inflammation throughout the body. That thing is coming on the horizon now. More medical professionals are talking about it. Inflammation, cancer, and all those things, they do survive in an acidic environment. They thrive. When the environment is alkali, it definitely minimizes how diseases affect our bodies. And I believe all of us here, we are doing something good. That's why we survived COVID. Amen? God is good to us. So let us continue to grow in the health message. You know, this health message that God has blessed this church with, we are light years ahead of science. Science is just now catching up with some of the things we knew straight out of inspiration. And so we should take it seriously. Amen? Now, there are two terribly negative and puzzling mysteries that I have found. The first one is Lucifer's fall up in perfect heaven. Anybody thought about that? I grapple with that. The second one is the fall of Eve and Adam in the perfect Garden of Eden. But you know, I find value in how the Bible addresses both of these mysteries. Of course, you know, Lucifer's fall is referred to as the mystery of iniquity. And the end time man of sin, the end time Antichrist, he also taps into the mystery of iniquity. And I'll unravel that for you in quick terms. The mystery of iniquity is the philosophy that somehow a created being can become the equal of God or God. That's the mystery of iniquity. And you know, when Lucifer set out on a task, Remember what he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will rise above the stars. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about that. And Ezekiel 28 told us that he fell because of the reason of his brightness. He took pride in himself rather than taking pride in his maker. The mystery of iniquity. And then he sowed the same seed in the human experience where he whispered to Eve that if she just ate of that fruit, she would have a higher sphere of experience. And she fell for the trap. And Adam, empathizing with his own wife, put a blinder over his eyes and jumped right in. The mystery of iniquity. Two great mysteries. And the Bible addresses both of those mysteries. You know what is the reality though? In both of those mysteries, the power of choice was at play. They all had a choice in the matter. But I want to tell you the good news today. Jesus is the restorer of all things. Amen? He is the restorer. And so my sermon title today is, Behold the Man. Behold the Man. I want to ask you this today though. How can anyone be ashamed of Jesus Christ? How can anyone be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and to the Greek and also to all those who believe. And I am neither Jew nor Greek, so I am among those who also believed. Paul says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That tells that there are many people who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I am not ashamed. And in verse 17 he says, For in it, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How do you live? Do you live by sight or do you live by faith? I believe each of you is here today because you are living by faith. Amen. That's why you're here. If you're living by sight, you wouldn't be. Because people are running scared and hiding from church. But thank God you are here showing up to worship the true and living God. Amen. Paul says, Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith as it is written, The just shall live by faith. You know, the whole business of God, of creation, of the plan of salvation, and of the coming of the desire of all nations from start to finish is a matter of faith. Do you agree? Yes, you agree. As my sermon title states, so is the entreaty to each of us today. Behold the man. Though these words were said from the lips of an ignominious coward by the name of Pilate, truer words were never spoken. Behold the man. Behold Christ today. Look upon Jesus. Christ is the man to behold. If you are looking for the real God, Christ is the man. Amen. If you are looking for a confidant, Christ is the man. If you're looking for a forever true friend, Christ is the man. If you're looking for a savior, Christ is the man. If you're looking for the Messiah, Christ is the man. If you're looking for a counselor, Christ is the man. That thing which we chase, but it is always fleeing away from us, we will experience only when we enter into the covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the man. So my encouragement to you today is, behold the man. Christ is the one. You know, Pilate was faithless, but you can be faithful. Amen? Pilate made a statement unwittingly, but you can make the statement willingly. Christ satisfies the deepest longings of the human soul. Christ will comfort you as soon as you let him in. So my encouragement to you today is, behold the man. Behold the man. Jesus Christ is God folded up in human flesh. His birth into this world is the greatest and happiest mystery of all time. The mystery of godliness totally unmasked and upended the mystery of iniquity while it redeems Adam's disgraceful fall. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, Paul says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Behold the man. Behold the man. You know, this person of the Godhead who became God manifest in the flesh is no doubt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He stands apart from all other would-be messiahs or spiritual awakeners. In just a single encounter with Christ, even the cold, calculating, and callous Pilate acknowledged Christ's uniqueness. When he cried in the words, "Behold the man," truth was framed on and forced from the lips of Pilate. And Pilate stepped forward to the dais and declared that Christ was the man of all time. He said, "Behold the man." And that's my sermon title today, "Behold the man." Now, it doesn't take long for any serious observer to see that Christ is the man. If cold, calculated, cruel Pilate could recognize on such a short encounter that Christ is the desire of all nations, saying, "Behold the man," so can you. You know, when troubles burden your soul, pour them all out at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You will see that he is an ever-present friend in your time of trouble. When all other helpers flee, Jesus is the one that will be right there beside you. When you have lost life's partner, and some of you here have experienced the death of your significant other, you will find that Jesus will still be there for you. Amen. You know, I want to say to you today, learn from now to lean on Jesus. Practice heart-to-heart conversations with God. Learn to call on God in prayers of living faith. He is near. And my encouragement to you today is to know Jesus for yourself. Know his voice. You are not too young to know him. You are not too old to know him. Behold the man. You know, in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8, the prophet says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken." Behold the man. You know, Jesus did use the power of silence in the various shameful halls of justice where he was dragged for sham trials. Christ was arrested and taken like a common prisoner. He was far removed from just human judgment. The task is, who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of Isaiah's people. Indeed, Christ was crucified for all humanity's sin. So, give your sins to Jesus today. He paid for them. If you hold any sin back from Jesus, you're a thief. He paid the full price for every sin of yours. And so if you hang on to any, you're robbing Christ of his right. He has a right to your sins. He does. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. He will turn your sins into joy. He'll give you his righteousness instead. So, give your sins. Give them all to Jesus and do it now. And once again, behold the man. Now, let's look at John chapter 19 in our scripture reading here. The word of God says, so then, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. He beat him. He had Jesus beaten. Verse 2. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. In those days, upon whom did they put a purple robe? One who was anointed king. In the Gentile circumstances, they wore a purple robe as a symbol of their coronation. And it just seemed like soldiers are always rough people. I don't know. You do have a few good soldiers. But it seemed like soldiers are always some of the worst kind. In this case, these Roman soldiers, they went through the trouble to twist, to plait a crown of thorns and placed it upon Jesus. They went through the trouble to find a purple robe to put upon my Jesus. And you know what they did next? In verse 3. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with the palm of their hands. Verse 4 says, Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. How is it then that this ruler of the territory, Pilate, over that region, how is it that he found no fault in Jesus, but he allowed him to be abused? Don't you find that contradicting? I find no fault in him, but yet he's roughed up by soldiers, slapped with their hands, those soldiers, mocked, put in a purple robe, but yet you say, I find no fault in him. And then in verse 5 it says, Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Behold the man. When last have you spent a thoughtful hour reflecting upon the life of Christ, especially these closing scenes? When last did you do that? The very word Christian is because of Christ. There can be no Christ-less Christian. And this Jesus, we need to study him carefully. We need to reflect upon his life. Take heed the scriptures and let them flood our minds so we can personally come to the conclusion as to whom Jesus really is to you, to yourself, and to myself. Who is Jesus to you today? He asked that question over in Matthew chapter 16. Who do men say that I am? And the answer was, some say you are Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, that's what they say. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, as the voice captain, he spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said to Peter, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It is God who made that known to you. The question for you today is, who is Jesus to you? We had met for a devotional on that morning, and we all boarded into that Dodge Caravan, a 2004 brand spanking new Dodge Caravan. It was navy blue in color. And all seven of us got into that van, and we headed out to our territory to do literature evangelism. We usually leave home about 11 or sometime shortly thereafter, and so we can drive to our territory. And we were on the secondary highway, and the driver happened to be me. And so there was a tractor trailer, and there was a nice long break in the road with broken line, and I decided I'm going to pass this tractor trailer. And so I put on my indicator and I pulled out, and I was in the maneuver of overtaking this 53-foot tractor trailer. Single lane highway. And just as I got to where the tractor head is, the engine, the front, lo and behold, someone coming from some side street, totally obscured from my vision, was trying to beat the tractor trailer to get out on that secondary highway. I was just in time to T-bone that vehicle and hit that vehicle in a ditch, a 2004 VW Golf. It broke a utility pole when it fell in the ditch. You know, our airbags deployed. That thing gave me a great good, you know, blow in my shin when it deployed, and the one in the steering wheel deployed and everything. I managed to muscle that thing and keep it on the road so we didn't fall in the ditch. We did pray before we head on the road, but calamity was ahead for us. Turned out that within seconds, that woman driver blocked out. Tractor trailer stopped, and I guess someone who was coming from the opposite direction, they came on the scene and saw, and they stopped. And so we got the paramedic there, and they were there in under 7 minutes. They were there. So they got there pretty quickly for where we were. And while we were going through, you know, some of us, we were shaken up and all that stuff. And while we were going through all of that, a lady just showed up. It was one of those summer that's a little cooler. I won't call it what people call it because I don't like the term. But it was a cooler summer. We did wear jacket in the summer. Winter jacket. Just to make the point. It was cooler. And a lady showed up. And the rest of the student missionaries that were in the car, she gave them this real nice blanket. Told them to stay warm. And then they kind of like put the blanket and turn around to tell the woman thanks, and there was no woman. Just like that. Just appeared, delivered a blanket, and vanished. We are certain that that was not a human being, because we could see a half a mile in that direction, and we could see a half a mile in that direction, and there was no car leaving anywhere. But that woman was nowhere to be found. And she simply said, stay warm. I want to say, the God of heaven that I'm talking about today, this Jesus Christ, is telling us that message today. Stay warm. We want to have warm hearts that are filled with the love of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our marriage, in our parenting responsibilities, In our singleness and in our missionary endeavors, we want the love of God to be in our hearts. Isn't that what Jesus said? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man will lay down his life for his friend. By this will all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love for one another. And Jesus did warn that one of the end time signs is that the love of many hearts was going to wax or grow cold. How is your heart today? We're going to check the thermometer. Does it move up? What's your love like today? How much do you love? This Jesus of Nazareth who did this for us, how much do you love him today? Jesus even said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The last time you checked, are you a commandment keeper or are you a commandment breaker? Last time you checked. If you evaluate yourself now, my question to you is, are you ready to go home to live with God? It cannot be that we come to church Sabbath after Sabbath, week after week, month after month, year after year, and then we would have heard those words from the lips of Jesus, depart from me, I never knew you. How futile that would have been. But on the other hand, there is a group of people to whom Jesus will say, you have been faithful in little things. I'm not going to make you ruler over many things, over much. King James Version. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Which sentence will you hear from Jesus on that great morning, on that great day? What sentence will you hear? It is true that according to culture, and it's anywhere you go in the world, according to culture, as soon as somebody dies, they were a saint. You hear all the good things they did as if that's going to place them in heaven. I could imagine even Hitler, when they were talking about him, they shared how saintly the man was. I don't want that to be any of our case today. Because this could be the last sermon some of us hear. Or one of us, any of us. This could be our last day of life. We never know. How many of you have had close calls where you could have died? Let me see your hands if you've had close calls. Oh yeah, I've had close calls. Just told you about one. I could have died in that accident, couldn't I? But God preserved. And we don't know what happens when we leave here today. Or even if we leave here today. When I was doing undergrad, there's one lady that we knew. Very Christian lady. She really lived for God. She demonstrated that she lived for God. And she was sitting on the rostrum, and she had maybe like a scripture reading to do. And she died right there, sitting on the seat, in church, on a Sabbath, before everybody. We just never know. What we do know is that they that live godly in Christ shall come up in the first resurrection, even if they have to die, right? We know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We know that he's a great restorer, the lover and preserver of our souls. And so what is my call to you today? Never allow church ever again, if it ever was for you, to be a ceremonial duty that you fulfill. You just come out to church, you do your time, you punch in your time, and you punch right back out. No. May Jesus be real to you today. Paul says, by beholding, we become changed. For we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and we should behold him, and so we are changed into his image from glory to glory. Behold the man. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Christ washes me whiter than snow. Are you desiring to be washed by Jesus today? Are you desiring to be cleansed by Christ today? Well, there's nothing to hold you back. Christ is not going to hold repentance away from you. Christ is not going to hold grudges against you and not forgive you. So what he's saying today then, surrender your all. It is my desire that you will behold the man. If that is your desire today, I invite you to stand to your feet at this time. If you want to renew your walk with Christ and to walk in holiness before him, stand to your feet. Because this is renewal. This is a restart. Christ is giving us a brand new beginning today. Praise be to God. Now I want you to repeat a prayer after me. And we're going to repeat that prayer in song, Sharon. It's a prayer. Hymn number 412. Pray this prayer in your voices of song today. Look upon Jesus. Sinless is he. Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that we are covered with your life. We're thankful, Lord, that you have washed us whiter than snow. And we're thankful, Lord, that you are continually working upon our hearts and that you are drawing us ever so close to you. We pray, Lord, that as we go from this worship service, that you help us that this commitment, this recommitment that we've made with you, that we will allow you to perform your perfect will in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us. You know our concerns. You know the burdens on our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you will just take them and that you, Lord, will work upon us as you see fit. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for washing us and forgiving us and cleansing us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.